Hi, this is your host, Lori Moylove, with the Limitless Podcast, and we're all about dreaming bigger than big and going for your dreams and also creativity. And I have no other than Hall of Fame NBA photographer Andy Bernstein, where, I mean, just like, even I'm wearing a Lakers hat, you shot for the Lakers, Clippers, Sparks, Dodgers, Kings. You've even shot commercials like Nike, Adidas, Pepsi, and you even have your own podcast too, Legends of Sport, which I see your hat. So awesome. So listeners, go check out, if you're really digging Andy's, our conversation, go check out his podcast too. I guess really my question at first is like, let's dive into where the passion started. I guess age 14, your dad just put a basketball hoop above the garage in Brooklyn and also gave you a camera. I guess, can you talk about those moments?
Yeah. First of all, Lori, it's really happy to be on your podcast, and thanks for reaching out. You know, I've been a big sports fan. Like you said, you know, we played hoops in my driveway. I lived in Brooklyn. We played stickball. We played street hockey. We played tackle football on concrete in the winter. You know, the sports nut. I knew I'd never play shortstop for the Mets. I was the smallest kid on my block. I wouldn't be a left wing for the Rangers either, but I love sports. And I love photography. And I did photography all throughout high school, into college. And when it became time to really sit down with myself and say, look, what do I love to do? What do I want to do with it? I love photography. I love sports. Why not marry the two together? And it's been a great marriage for, you know, 50 plus years.
Yeah. And we're talking about like that marriage. And I really consider like your book, Mamba Mentality, How I Play, kind of the ethos of even yourself in photography. And I was wondering if you could kind of speak upon, like, you know, it's probably a roller coaster taking pictures, and it's kind of like the perfect storm until you catch that perfect moment. I was wondering if you could kind of go into, I'm going to call it the Bernstein method. What is the method? Like, what is the method to the magic of these iconic images that so many of us enjoy? I have the 88 Michael Jordan on my wall, awesome, dunk from the All-Stars. So it's like, where did the magic and like your method come? Like, well, it's
such a great question, Lori. I don't think anybody has ever asked it in that way. You know, I was taught very early in life about a work ethic by my dad. My dad was a doctor. He's also a professor. And, you know, I saw how he went to work every single day, worked 12, 13, 14 hours. He also knew how to enjoy life. And that mostly revolved around sports, and he was an amateur woodcrafter, woodworker. And so that work ethic sort of continued. And it wasn't just my dad. It was everyone in my family, that my uncles, my grandfather. We all had that sort of old school work ethic. And then once I got to LA and I started to become an assistant, you know, jumping forward a bunch of steps, but once I started going to Art Center in LA and I became an assistant for Sports Illustrated, I saw how hard those guys worked, the photographers that I assisted for, how they prepared for games. Then I'm going to the Laker games and seeing how Magic Johnson prepares, and Pat Riley and Jerry West, how intense he was about his work. And so making a career choice to work in professional sports as a photographer, I really had to sort of match that energy. I had to match that commitment, that obsession, which, you know, you brought up Kobe in the book. It was our mutual obsessions with our craft bonded us from day one, from when I met him at 18 years old through 20 years and us doing a book together. So the method really is based on work ethic. Obviously, you have to have some talent at what you do. When you come down to it, photography is a creative discipline, and you have to, you know, nobody can teach you timing and how to compose and focus. But people can teach you how to prepare and how to let your equipment be second nature, how to bring the lunch pail to work every single game. And that's what I did. That's what I prided myself for all the game. I did probably my NBA career. I think I did over 5,000 games.
Wow.
I was a photographer. So, but every one of those games, you know, I never mailed it in. And whether it's an NBA finals game or middle of the season, kind of, you know, innocuous, you know, regular season game or preseason, whatever, I took a lot of pride in what I did. And I still do off the court, but that was my sort of mantra while I work.
I guess some of our listeners probably would want to know, what's your favorite lens or one where you can have fun that like makes you feel extra creative on the court?
Well, it's interesting because that has sort of evolved over time. You know, when I first started, zoom lenses really didn't exist. There were a few. They weren't very good. They weren't sharp. They're hard to use. They're kind of too wide. And so we were using prime lenses, fixed lenses. So in those days for basketball, for example, we'd use a 50 millimeter or an 85 millimeter, sometimes a 105 if you're shooting from under the basket. Second camera would have a longer lens, like a 300, for example, that you'd have on a monopod. But as we got it further, as my career, you know, started growing, I became a Nikon photographer very early in my career. They started developing these really great zoom lenses and of different focal lengths. So the, you know, prehistoric era of film and manual lenses. There weren't really many choices for zoom lenses. You know, I became a Nikon guy pretty early in my career. The lenses were kind of bulky. They weren't very good. They weren't sharp. So we were using prime lenses in those days, which for basketball would be a 50 millimeter, an 85, a 300 on your down court camera. For hockey, I think I was using a 105 for hockey. Football, you know, I think I was using a 200 millimeter, 300, whatever. But as my career progressed, the lenses got better and the zoom lenses. So I started incorporating zooms into my repertoire. And the 16 to 35 became my workhorse off the court, kind of behind the scenes lens. The 70 to 200 started off as an 80 to 200, but now it's 70 to 200. It's really the go-to zoom lens for most things, sports. I like to use the 18 to 300 because I can sit under the basket at the wide angle, but I also have a telephoto all in one lens. And then down court, the 100 to 400. So I know these are all technical stuff, but photographers who are listening to this will really relate.
Yeah.
And the zoom lenses now are great. They're fast. You can use them in low light, you know, with the digital technology. You don't have to really worry about that anymore. But the most important thing is that they're sharp. You need to have sharp lenses so that the pictures are actually in focus, you know. So I was very happy with that combination, you know, the last 15, 20 years of my career.
Yeah. And you've taken some really touching shots too, kind of behind the scenes. I think of probably you've mentioned in other interviews, one of your favorite shots with Michael Jordan and his dad. Can you maybe go back in time and tell me, like, how did you capture that and what kind of motivated you to get that too?
Well, I was always the first person into the winning locker room after a championship. I shot 40 NBA finals. So there were 40, you know, champagne-soaked locker room celebrations. I was always the first one in representing the NBA. And that particular moment that you're talking about was the 91 finals. The Bulls beat the Lakers at the Forum in L.A. First championship for Michael Jordan. After 7 years of trying to get to the mountaintop, he finally did. So when that moment happened, all hell was breaking loose in the locker room. Champagne's flying all over the place. It was packed. It was a tiny little locker room, smaller than where I'm sitting right now, basically. And the network at the time, it was CBS, in all of their wisdom, decided, oh, we'll do the trophy presentation live on TV from like the corner of the locker room, which they did. And the only vantage point I could get to the whole scene of chaos was jumping up on a bridge table. So at least I could see everything laid out in front of me. Luckily, I didn't weigh that much in those days. And so they do the trophy presentation for the whole team. Of course, Michael is on stage. They go to commercial. The whole idea was to come back from commercial. And I think it was Brett Musburger at the time was going to interview Michael one-on-one. Lo and behold, Michael is gone. I mean, like, they gave the trophy to the team. And then he just, like, took off. And nobody could find him. And imagine, like, this crazy scene. Everybody's packed in. It's like 120 degrees in there. No Michael. Everybody's freaking out. I'm up on this bridge table. Chaos is going and people are trying to find Michael frantically. Something in my head said, look to your left, which I did. And there he was right there, like 4 feet away with his dad holding the trophy, all the emotion coming out. And it was a very impactful photo at the moment. I took maybe two frames of it, and then somebody came and grabbed him. But it was a very historical photo at the moment. Of course, star player Michael Jordan winning his first championship. But over time, it became an iconic photo because, you know, he won 5 more championships. His dad was tragically murdered. It was a very poignant moment for Michael, to the point where someone from his office, after his dad was killed, called me and asked me for a print of that for Michael. So it's just, and it's interesting, Lori, because, you know, I'm known as sort of an action photographer. I don't like that, being pigeonholed like that, but that's sort of how people view me. So that was a very photojournalistic moment, which I take a lot of pride in, because that was my roots. That's what I wanted to be. Mm. And that still has stood the test of time.
Yeah. Yeah, I find, like, yes, you definitely get the dunks, the action, but yeah, the photojournalistic, like, I can see that and even sense that somewhat in some of your action shots too.
Thank you.
Can you, like, share maybe what's a few of your favorite dunks that you've captured?
Well, you know, the young Kobe, you know, the pre-Mamba was a dunk machine basically every game. If I didn't come home with 3, 4, 5 ridiculous dunks from this guy, it was a disappointing night. And, you know, you have to keep in mind the way I shoot, the way I used to shoot basketball games was I get one shot. It's not a motor drive where you do 10 frames a second and you pick the third frame or the seventh frame out. I get one shot because of this big, intricate set of strobes that I use, that big flash units that have to recycle their energy back up. And you can't shoot between 1 and 4 seconds because you won't get anything. It'll be a black frame. So I have to think and anticipate, and from experience, and I have to hope that I click at the right moment. Sometimes you miss it. You know, sometimes the guy's arms in his face, or the referee gets in the way, or opposing player, or he's just not facing the right direction. Or you're out of focus. You know, that happened too back in the day. So, you know, I hope that I batted, you know, more than 500 most of the time, you know, and I got most of the shots that I was there to get. But, you know, you can't make something out of nothing. You know, and Michael Jordan famously talks about that he missed like 9,000 shots in his career. So, you know, it's inevitable it'll happen. But, you know, some Kobe dunks stand out. Of course, Jordan dunks. This Ja Morant guy is unbelievable, the way he dunks. I was shocked at this young kid, Wembanyama, down in San Antonio. He gave me some good dunks. Of course, Vince Carter, Dominique Wilkins. I mean, we're going back in time. But, you know, every game I'm surprised, because I'm surprised how unbelievably talented these athletes are. And it's my job to document that.
Yeah. And speaking of these athletes, I know Kobe, I think, mentioned in an interview that he kind of studied your pictures, and your pictures gave him such precision. I was wondering if you could go into that, because you captured such the essence of some of these players and the footwork, how they handle the ball. I guess, can you go into like the technicalities and anticipating to capture these images?
Yeah, for sure. Well, when I would go into a game, I would have a mindset, a game plan. You know, if it was a big rivalry, Lakers-Celtics rivalry, for example, or, you know, if it was obviously a playoffs or final game, you have to get the matchups. You have to get the physicality of it. Every player has their signature moves, whether it's on offense or defense. But I love the matchups, the rivalries, the offensive nemesis that Kobe had, you know, 5 or 6 guys that would really play him hard. And it was my job to document that. And when we came to do our book together, he wanted to pull from that gigantic library of imagery to really talk about what the Mamba mentality meant to him as a player, but also off the court. And we illustrated a lot of that in the craft part of the book. The book is divided into 2 parts: process, which is all the mental and physical preparation, becoming who he was as a great athlete. Craft was everything basketball related that made him truly one of the greatest of all time on offense, defense, how he is a student of the game, how he studied film more than anyone I'd ever seen in my life. And so it was a challenge for me every single game, especially when he played, to really lock in on these matchups and these signature moments, which became, you know, great content for our book.
Okay, so I usually do trivia, and with our Mamba mentality of dreams and creativity, we're going to take our shot. So today, here's a few questions, and we're going to take a shot. Andy, you're going to answer one word or whatnot, whatever comes to mind.
Great.
So film or digital?
Film.
Okay. Sideline or studio?
Sideline.
Okay. Kobe or MJ?
Kobe.
Okay. What about describe Shaq in one word?
Wacky.
I love that. Dream team or modern dynasty?
Dream team.
Yeah. Okay, what about the most electric arena?
Oh, great question. I would say the old Chicago Stadium.
A legend you still wish you'd shot?
Muhammad Ali.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, one lens for the rest of your life.
Another great question. One lens for the rest of my life. I think I would go with the 18-300.
Yeah,
zoom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could sense that because you're saying like the range. You got options.
Yeah. I got a lot of options with that. Yeah.
And then what is the photo that lives rent-free in your mind?
Got to be this one. Bruce Springsteen crowd surfing at the LA Sports Arena.
That's cool.
I snuck a camera into the catwalk at the old LA Sports Arena. His last show there in 2016. I'm a big Bruce fan, as you can see from my shirt.
Yeah.
My buddy Danny Clinch's iconic photo. Getting ready to see Bruce on the next leg of the tour in the UK, so I can't wait.
Exciting.
Now, if it was a sports picture, just got to give you part B, it would totally be Neil Leifer's Ollie over Liston from the 64 fight when, he's standing over him, which is the most iconic sports photo in history.
Wow. Yeah. So true. I mean, you've shot so many iconic in sports history, too. What I ask every guest of mine, one word that bonds them with dreaming and creativity. What would that one word be for you, Andy?
Well, Lori, it's got to be obsession. I mean, as a creative person, you have to be obsessed with what you do. I learned that from Kobe, from day one working with him. It's the first pillar of the Mamba mentality, which has four pillars: obsession, curiosity, relentlessness, and strength. If you're not obsessed with what you do, you should be doing something else.
And what's one thing that you want to leave with our listeners and where they can connect with you?
If you're a photographer, for example, listening or watching this, just keep shooting. My thing was always go out, shoot. And when I'm tired of shooting, I shot some more. So a young photographer, middle of your career, end of your career, it's our craft. You should be obsessed with it and want to do it every single day. Also seek out mentors, people that you can pick their brain, people you admire, whose work that you want to emulate, but people in other lines of work who are successful. Kobe was famous for that. And I've taken that, my whole career, reaching out to people. And to find us, the best place to go is Instagram, at Legends of Sport, and my Instagram, at ADB Photo Inc. The podcast is called Legends of Sport. Our podcast is called Legends of Sport, and you can find that on every podcast network. YouTube channel, it's called Legends of Sport.
Thanks so much, Andy, for being on the podcast, inspiring us to have that Mamba mentality. Ways our listeners can connect with Andy is through Legends of Sports on his podcast and also ADB Photo Inc. on Instagram. So go check out Andy's work. Go get Mamba mentality, how I play. It's so inspiring. Thank you so much, Andy, for being on the podcast. And let's keep our creativity and dreams in that Mamba mentality vibe. Let's go.